Good morning, everyone. It's great to be in church this morning. And I was just reflecting a little bit on what Ian was encouraging us to pray out and with our thanksgiving and things. I was just thinking, I'm just so grateful for this church family. Just love being part of the church family. It's just such a blessing and a joy and an honour. And it's really humbling to get to hopefully encourage you guys. It's just such a humbling thing to do. So yeah, love being part of the family. And so this morning, we're starting to come into land on our preaching series on Healthy Church. This is not the last one, but we're on to the final approach. And the last one will be on the last session we have here on the 21st, where Steve is going to be speaking to us about a sacrifice of praise. But we're coming into land on this preaching series. And we think it's been a really important series for us to just stop and take time and consider prayerfully, what does it mean to be a healthy church? What does a healthy church look like? How do we intentionally go about being a healthy church? How do we do those things? So hopefully as we've gone along, that's what we've done. And we've taken our time to look at what it is and the importance of being a healthy church. We've been using Hebrews 13 as a bit of a roadmap for us. So if you have your Bibles with you, go to Hebrews 13 because we'll be getting there pretty soon. And today we're going to be looking at verses 20 and 21. And what we're going to be looking at today particularly is how does a healthy church relate to God? Because that seems like quite an important question. That if we want to be a healthy church, if that is something that we desire to be, then how do we relate and interact? How do we see God? That seems to me to be quite an important thing for us to look at. So why don't we just pray for a moment before we get into the scripture? Oh God, we just want to thank you so much for who you are, for what you've done, for your love for us. We get the privilege of gathering together in your name, gathering as family and worshiping you. What a joy that is to us, Lord Jesus. We just want to say thank you. Thank you so much. Holy Spirit, come fill us now. Lord, we are hungry and thirsty to be impacted by your word, the living word today, Lord God, that is sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord God, we open ourselves up now and say, come, Holy Spirit, speak to us through your word today, we pray. Amen. Amen. Right, so I'm just going to read these two verses and then we'll get into it a bit. So verse 20 says this: Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. That's just, what a piece of scripture that is. That's incredibly dense. There's a lot in there, isn't there? And so what we're going to do today, there'll be a few things that we're going to hover on and really kind of mine a bit. And there's a few things that we'll tip our caps to and skip over because we can't hit all of it because there's so much in there. The first thing that really grabbed my attention when I was spending time looking at this was just that first few words, the God of all peace. The God of all peace. This is huge. This is absolutely huge. If you think about our culture and our society, and there is just this epidemic, this wave of mental health issues, this wave of anxiety, this wave of depression. So to come to God, to relate to God, and to call him for who he is, the God of all peace, this is massive. This is absolutely huge. Pat sent me an article this week, which I'm going to share parts of with you from Premier Christian News. So the title is, God is Blowing My Mind, Reports of Signs and Wonders Breaking Out Amongst Generation Z. So Generation Z, if you're born between 97 and 2012, that's Generation Z. If you're in the room today and you're Generation Z, give me a little wave. Little waves and excellent. So this is about you guys, okay? So this is what the article said. So I'm going to read parts of it out. Gen Z is labelled as the least religious generation. Accounts of the Holy Spirit breaking out among Gen Z suggest they're heading for revival. Amen. We're seeing that, right? We're seeing that in this church. People of that generation being filled with the Holy Spirit, encountering God radically, and lives being changed forever. We're seeing it, and it's incredible. This is not just some random article that we can wave about and go, isn't it exciting what's happening in our nation? We are seeing it in our town, in our church. Praise God. Thank you for what we are seeing. The article continues. Pete Gregg, founder of 24/7 Prayer, told Premier, increasingly in Gen Z and younger people, we are seeing a hunger for clarity and conviction of holiness. Now, this quote is the is the one. For a generation impacted by mental health issues, whereas significant numbers are on antidepressants under the age of 25, the peace of Jesus has been revolutionary. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that people who are just this whole generation that is coming through that has just been in this seemingly in the grip of mental health issues, in the grip of anxiety, are encountering radically the peace of Jesus and it is changing people's lives. That's wonderful, isn't it? Praise God. This is so good what's happening. It carries on in the article. This is now a young lady who was interviewed for the article. She says this: for the last 5 years, I've been in and out of hospital for mental health reasons. My sister, who'd recently come back to faith, told me the only place I've found authentic peace is in the presence of God. So you've got to come to church. It's great, isn't it? I mean, this is good news, guys. We could be excited about this, that there is a whole generation that was seemingly in the grip of mental health and anxiety issues. Is now loads of people are coming through to faith and finding peace in God and in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. So we are super excited to hear that we've seen some of that here as well. And actually, instead of an old fart like me talking about it, because I am not Gen Z, I'm well older than that. I'm 20 years past that lot. So Sam is just going to come and share some of his things. Let's welcome Sam, shall we?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Go for it.
So yeah, if you guys don't know, a few of us youth last weekend went to Spain for a camp. And basically this story is not actually related to the camp, it's basically related to a story after the camp. And so on the plane on the way home, basically Mikey and a few others are sitting on a row, on the same row as us, and I'm sitting on the same row but alone next to two strangers. And basically I'm always really anxious to kind of speak on a plane and always have loads of anxiety to actually start a conversation with people on a plane. And this lady spoke to me first, so I thought that was a bit different. So I said, hello, how you doing? She's like, how you doing? So it was, that was good. And then basically as the plane starts to take off, the sunset is so beautiful out the window. And she kind of nudges me and says to me, have you ever seen a sunset that beautiful before? And I say, I haven't. I said, it was absolutely beautiful. And it kind of sparked a conversation from then onwards about Jesus, really. And basically she was not against faith, but she was kind of didn't have any faith. And she'd gone to Spain just for a holiday. And basically her nephew a few years ago had also gone to Spain. And she was really anxious about her nephew going to Spain because she thought her nephew was going to get drunk and go on drugs or whatever. But when she came back, the nephew came back completely changed, completely like living for Jesus. And this kind of planted a primary seed in her, I could tell. And it then kind of got onto my testimony. I kind of shared my testimony to this lady and I could tell that she was receiving quite a lot from it. And then Mikey kind of looks at me and says to me, Sam, have you seen her ring? So I look at her ring, and her ring is actually an elephant ring with 8 elephants on it. And it's actually got quite a prophetic meaning, the ring. Because the first time I went to Spain to a chapel, and Mikey bought a ring from Mijas, and this ring had 8 elephants on the ring. And these 8 elephants signified 8 of us on top of the chapel on that special time we had. I don't know if you heard about that time, that special time we had on the chapel. And she was wearing the exact same ring from the exact same shop in Mijas that Mikey had. So I felt like that was a real like sign that the Lord had really handpicked her and kind of chosen her to be on that plane next to us in that time. And it was really just unbelievable. She heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I genuinely believe her life was completely changed after that interaction. So yeah. And I think it's just a good encouragement to be bold. You know, I mean, we all carry the light of Jesus inside of us. We all carry the Holy Spirit. I think it's really encouraging to know that if we are bold and if we step out in obedience, that the Lord will present these opportunities to us. He will put these people by us and give us the opportunity to give them the truth of Jesus, which is peace, love, lack of anxiety, truth, freedom, you know. So I think it's really beautiful. And we just need to be obedient to the Lord, and he will direct our paths, and he'll put these people in our way. You know, there's a bit of scripture I want to read from. It's from Mark 16, verses 15 to 19, and it is. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. So I think that's just amazing, really, how if we're just faithful to God, he will send us out. He will send us out. And I pray that he'll send us out. And I pray that I can tell he's changing the hearts of the young people in the UK. Especially, I can see there's a revival happening in the moment within the young people, and I think it's just absolutely beautiful what he's doing. And I pray that he continues to do that, you know.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well done, mate. You take that right there. Well done, buddy. Good job, Sam. Well done, mate. It's good to, this is not just something we're reading in articles. This is happening. We're seeing it happening. Praise God. People's lives are being changed. God is the God of peace, and he's the God for the generations. This is not just about young people, but it's great for us to acknowledge, look what God is doing in the young people in our nation at the moment. It's a wonderful thing. One of the things I would love to just ask us to consider today, we've been talking about the God of peace, is do you need more peace in your life? Do you need to encounter the God of peace for yourself more? And what we're going to do at the end of the message today, there will be a time when we'll be offering to pray for people. And we're going to be offering to pray for an increase of peace. And what I want to encourage you to do when that time comes, don't be slow in responding. If you've got an opportunity for someone to lay hands on you and pray a blessing on you, pray more of God's peace on you, why would you turn that down? So I'm just going to throw that one out there now. So how else do we relate to God? We can come to God as the God of peace. That's who he is. That's what it says. So other bits in this verse 20 talks about God being a faithful God. So it says through the blood of the covenant. Through the blood of the eternal covenant. So God does what he says he's going to do. This is referring back to a lot of the sacrificial things, the stuff we've already mentioned in Hebrews 13. God is the everlasting, faithful God. He does what he says he's going to do. He can be trustworthy. He's also the mighty God. We are reminded that God raised Jesus from the dead. He's the God of the impossible. So this is the God we come to, the God we relate to, is the God of the impossible. He's also a compassionate God because it tells us that he sent Jesus to us to shepherd us, to shepherd the sheep. Jesus is the great shepherd. And we spoke already about this, about the whole image of the shepherd, the one who cares for the sheep. And this is what we're reminded here, that Jesus is the great shepherd. God sent him to care for the sheep. So not only is God, he is the God of peace, he's also a faithful God. He's also a mighty God. He's also a compassionate God. Does anyone want to relate to God in those ways? Because that's who he is. That's what the scripture is telling us. That's who he is. So verse 20 tells us quite a lot about who God is. What verse 21 tells us is a lot about what he does and why. So just going to read that bit out again, verse 21. What he does, this amazing God that we've just been hearing about, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So this tells us what he does and why he does it. And we know that life is not always easy, is it? Life can be quite difficult at times and can be quite trying. And so within that, we can be searching and going, okay, God, what are you doing in this moment? And so what I'd love to do now is invite Jack to come and share part of his recent story with us. Can we welcome Jack, please?
Generation Z. I'm neither Generation A. I just want to witness to the fact that during the last 2 months, I've needed the presence and help of the Good Shepherd. My story goes back to the beginning of February. I was just recovering from an operation on my head to remove a cancer cell. And May the 5th, which was my 89th birthday, I had a heart attack and had to be rushed to the hospital and eventually Papworth. And I had an operation to put a stent in one of my arteries. As I was having this operation, I was still awake because it was local anaesthetic. And whenever I've been in very difficult situations, I've always walked through my favorite psalm with the Lord Jesus, Psalm 23. Mm-hmm. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he lays me down in that green pasture. He takes me by the still water and restores my soul. And then he leads me on that path of righteousness and then into that valley of the shadow of death. And right through there, I go with him and to the air. At the time when I come to the passage where it talks about being in the house of the Lord forever. And I did that, and everything went well. And I praise the Lord that I'm feeling well now in that way. 3 weeks later. Here's my prompter. 3 days, sorry. 3 days, not weeks, 3 days. It seems weeks now. 3 days later, I had an operation again on my temple to remove 2 more growths. And then 8 weeks ago, I was really recovering from that. And it's still an open wound. I'm still recovering from that. I've got to see the specialist on Monday, so I value your prayers for that. And I just want to say thank you for the prayers that have been coming through constantly. They're a great help. And the Good Shepherd, hands and feet, people are using their hands and feet to help me through this difficult time. Doing dressings. My lovely wife, Dorothy, has learnt to be a nurse. She's lovely. A lovely nurse, a gentle nurse. Most times. And then 3 weeks ago, I'm rushed into the hospital again with problems with my waterworks. Now, you gentlemen will know, the elderly gentlemen here might know something about that. It affects your dignity in some ways. And it's difficult to get through. But I went through that ordeal, still walking with the Lord through the Psalm 23. Mm-hmm. The Lord is my shepherd. Mm-hmm. And I felt the Lord my shepherd through that too. Mm-hmm. Then, during that time, I woke up one morning and I was woozy. Confused. And I was talking more gobbledygook than I normally do. And the family will tell you this because they were visiting at the time and they were quite worried. I had a blood test and it was found that I was deficient in sodium in my system, which was causing me to be confused and what have you. I recovered from that because I was put on a drip there's another story. I got into trouble because I started moving my hand and moving myself and starting the machine up. But I just recovered from that. And then I went into deep depression. I felt that I had to cope with so many things. I was worried about Dorothy coping with all the practical issues. And I was coping with all, and I was saying to the Lord, how many more things do I have to cope with? And I was in a terrible state in terms of, I was a bit like David in Psalm 13. You know, it refers, that Psalm 13 refers back to Samuel 21 and 22, where David was escaping from Saul, running away, and he got into a cave, and he was all alone, and he was saying to the Lord, why is this happening to me? What's going on? I was in the same state. Mm-hmm. But within all that, slowly, the Lord Jesus just calmed me down, brought calmness to me, and it was the Good Shepherd then, again, that I could focus upon. Lord, I'm just so grateful for your goodness and grace, even at my age. You young people will get to my age, hopefully one day. And you'll go through trials and tribulations. Mm. You will get to a stage when things are going so wrong in your life that you just need to grasp hold of Jesus. Find a scripture that's dear to you, like the 23rd Psalm. Let it be in you and of you, so that at that time you can put the worries of the world aside, all the things that are going on. All during the operations, I wasn't conscious of what was going on around me. I was focusing on Jesus. If you focus on Jesus, then you have nothing to fear.
Amen. Well done, Jack. Thank you so much. Put your hand down, you're right. Amen. Thank you, Jack. It's so good, isn't it, to hear testimony, very real life stuff. Life is difficult. Things are hard. What Jack said was so beautiful, wasn't it? Guys, all of us, whatever age we are, to have key scriptures in us to remind ourselves of the truth that whatever we're going through, that we go back to Jesus, because God is the God who resources us. That's what he does. He provides and he resources us. We know that He is the God of peace, and he brings peace. We know that he is the mighty God. We know that he is faithful, and we know that he's compassionate, but he also resources us. He also resources us. And in looking at this piece of scripture, I'm reading a little bit around it. There was the verb resource that he uses here. I'm going to dip into my New Testament Greek now, and my pronunciation is going to be terrible. So if anyone can help me out, I'll go for it first and see. So the verb equip, I can't even read it. Katartzu? Say it louder. What you said? Say it louder again. Okay, still haven't got it. Okay. I'm dyslexic. English is a challenge for me. Other languages, forget it. Anyway, back on point. So it also, as well as equip, it also can mean restore, repair, or mend. So when we see that verb there, equip, this verb here is the same when Jesus calls the disciples and they're mending their nets. This is the word that's used. So it can mean equip, it can mean restore, it can mean repair or mend. So I read in a guy called Raymond Brown and his commentary on Hebrews, and he says this, I think it's beautiful, he's written, in equipping his people with everything good, our God is able to supply what is necessary, but also repair what is broken. That's beautiful, isn't it? that God who resources us, he doesn't just supply our needs, but he repairs what is broken. And I wonder if anyone's feeling a little bit broken this morning. Anyone been through some really difficult times like Jack has just been describing? Maybe it's been a bit relentless. It's been one thing after another. There seems to be no respite. You just think you've got over one hump and then there's another challenge and there's another challenge. And as Jack so well put it, what's next? I can't, no more, please Lord, no more. And then something else comes again and it keeps coming and it keeps coming. And today I want to just remind us all that God is the God who does supply our needs. He does resource us. He does repair us. He does mend us. He does bind the brokenhearted back together. We can trust him. And again, as I've said already, when we land this, we're going to be offering to pray for people. And this is something we're going to be offering prayer for, that if you're feeling a bit broken, you need mending, restoring, equipping. Let's rush into God's presence, the God of all peace, who is compassionate and mighty. Let's rush into his presence and say, yeah, I need you, Jesus. Just a real sense today that God wants to do something in people's lives. And I've spoken to a number of people before the service who are sharing the same sense that God wants to do something in people's lives today, that this is a morning for breakthrough and change. And so let's walk forward in faith, going, okay, God, you're faithful, so I'm going to respond to your faithfulness. You're mighty, so I'm going to rush to you because I need your mightiness. You're compassionate, so I'm going to run into your love. And wow, do I need your peace? So shortly, we're going to come to that place. So that's what God does. He equips us, but why does he do it? Because this verse also talks about the why. So why does God equip us for these things? It says in the verse, he may equip you with everything to do his will. That's what it's all about. He equips us to do his will. The verse also says, may he work in us what is pleasing to him. And it also says, glory to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. A healthy church is equipped to do the will of God. And that's what it's all about. A healthy church will do what is pleasing to God. And it's all about the glory of Jesus. So if we want to be a healthy church, we have to be serious about Jesus at the center. Asking the question, what is your will? What is your will, God, for our lives? And again, if we want to be healthy Christians in a healthy church, that is the great question to be asking. Okay, Lord, what is your will for my life? That's a good one for us to ponder on. What is God's will for our life? And maybe that could be something that could cause confusion for some of us. Okay, I don't know. Maybe I'm searching. God, I'm shouting at heaven. God, what is your will for my life? Maybe that's something that we're shouting. I love how Freedom in Christ addresses this issue. Freedom in Christ is a discipleship course we use very widely in this church. And what it says about God's will for our lives, God's will for our lives is for us to become more and more like Jesus in character. That's a pretty good starting place, right? So I can tell every single person in this room, you do not need to be confused at all. God's will for your life is to be more like Jesus in character. And the beautiful thing about that is no one can take that away from you. No situation or circumstance can prevent that from happening. It's only how you choose to respond to it. So what will you do with that? How will you become more like Jesus in character to live out God's will for you in your life? But if you want a little more detail than that, because that's quite a big headline, I think there's enough there, but we can go deeper. There's some details. How about this? Let's see if you can see where I'm going to go with this one. Well, God's will for all of our life is to keep loving one another as brothers and sisters. Have you heard that before somewhere recently? I hope you have, because it's right at the start of Hebrews 13. Let me tell you, that is God's will for your life, to love each other as brother and sisters. It is also God's will for us not to forget to show hospitality to strangers. That's God's will for our life. So we don't need to be confused. Oh God, what would you like me to do? He tells us what he'd like us to do. God would like us to continue to remember those in prison, people who are marginalized and oppressed. That's God's will for our life, that we will remember the marginalized and the oppressed. Here's a good one for us. Marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. That's God's will for your life. If you're married, for your marriage bed to be kept pure, that's God's will for your life. We should take that seriously. We don't need to ask the question, Lord, what do you want for my life? He's telling us right here very, very clearly. Here's another good one for us. This is God's will for all of us, that we will keep our lives free from the love of money. That's God's will for your life right there, that we're not going to be consumed by the love of money, by idolatry and things of this world. It's also God's will for us to have our hearts strengthened by grace, which only comes through Jesus, the great high priest and the great shepherd of the sheep. That's God's will for our lives, guys. We don't need to be confused about this at all. It's God's will for our lives that we would not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Does this sound familiar to anyone who's been in church over the last few weeks? This is God's will for our life, that we will get into our Bibles and that we will read them and we will drink deeply from that pure source of water that brings life and that we will apply it to our lives. It's God's will for our lives that we will respond well to leadership. It's God's will for our lives that we will bring a sacrifice of praise, but it's also God's will that we will know him and that we will relate to him. He wants us to know him like a loving father. That is God's will for our lives, that we would know him, that we would know him as the God of peace, that we would know him as the God who is faithful, that we would know him as the mighty God, that we would know him as a compassionate God. That's God's will for our lives, that we would relate to him and know him in those ways. So as I say, it's been a real joy looking through this Hebrews 13. There's so much there for us. It's so deep. We could go over it and over it again, and it's so practical, but it just keeps pointing us back to Jesus. It's all about Jesus at the center. If we're doing these things, then the church is going to look pretty healthy, and we can be pretty enthusiastic about that. What I'd love to do is for us to just pray now and just spend some time. There's been a whole lot of stuff in just two little verses. In two little verses we've looked at, there's a whole bunch of stuff there, and it feels like we've barely scratched the surface. So what I'm going to invite the band to come back, and I'm going to invite you, if you're able to stand, because we're going to pray together. And so, by way of responding, Pat is just going to come and kick us off to help us respond. But I would really love us all to just really, just close our eyes if you're able to. Let's just come into a place of response. What's God saying to us today? And what are we going to do about this?
In my prayer time this morning, I just had the words, the Holy Spirit is hovering. And I just sat with this for a minute. And then I remembered where one place where it is in the Bible, and that was right at the very beginning. And I'm just going to read these two verses to you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness over the surface. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then I just really heard the words, the Holy Spirit is hovering over his people. And I started praying for this morning. And I just really had a sense that the Holy Spirit is hovering now. He wants to meet with us, and in the same way as when he was hovering over the earth, he was waiting for God to give his instructions and to do his work, which was to create creation, to create the earth. Which seemed a really massive thing to do. So the Holy Spirit is hovering over us now, and he's waiting for God to speak and to work in the same power that he had when he made creation, when he created the earth and everything in it. So I really just sense we need to, if we could hold our hands out and as a sign of acceptance that we want this. And if you are in a dark place and you're suffering, as Chris was saying, the earth was a dark place, but God came and he made light. So that power is there, it is waiting for us. So whatever your needs, God, all through creation, it was God said and it happened. So God, through his Spirit, wants to just say, administer to us all today. It will all be different. Our needs are all great. But everything in the earth's creation was all different, and God made them beautiful. So let's be a beautiful, healthy church so that we can go out and shine like Jesus and share Jesus in that light. Just one other thing that I had coming down the day. I really do sense sometimes we limit God and we put him in a box. Our car has a limiter on it, And if you set that limiter, you cannot go any faster. It stops you, it pulls you back. And I just really had a sense of what the Holy Spirit is saying. Take your limiters off. I want you to run with me. We've got lots of running to do. So turn those limiters off and just go with me.
What I'd love us to do now is just to kind of respond to this moment in prayer. As Pat has invited us to, if you feel happy to put your hands out. We're just going to come before our Heavenly Father. Just respond now and just... King Jesus, we love you. We submit ourselves to you and say, Jesus, you are the center of this church. Be the center of our lives. Everything, we want everything to start with you, King Jesus. Everything to start with you. Because we know, Jesus, it's through you that we get to know our Heavenly Father. It's through you, Jesus, and what you've done and your victory that we get to encounter the Father and his embrace. It's through Jesus that we come into the glorious presence of the God of peace, who just wants to put his arms around us this morning and hold us close. So, Father God, we come to you now. We come to you now with hearts of thanksgiving. Just say thank you that you sent the Good Shepherd. In your compassion, you sent us Jesus. In your might, you raised him from the dead. In your faithfulness, you made it happen because you can be trusted, Father. And so, Father, we come before you now and we trust you. We look to you, to your power and your might. We are in awe and we're so grateful of your compassion. And God, we need your peace. God, as we draw close to you, God, as we come into your presence now, God, we need your peace. God, I just want to pray right now, would your peace just flow in this room? Every heart, every mind. As we're saying here now, God, we need your peace. We need to know the God of peace that changes lives. God, we thank you for many stories of lives being changed. Many stories of lives being changed, but we pray, would you do more, Lord God, across the generations? Thank you for what you're doing in the younger generation, Lord, but we know that this is not just limited to that. And so, God, we say, across the generations, bring your peace now. You are the God of peace, so bring your peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we know you're the God who equips. That you equip us for what we need. You give us what we need for your will. We thank you, you're the God who mends and repairs. Thank you, the God who restores. And so now by your Holy Spirit, would you come and do a work in our heart? Would you heal the brokenhearted? Bring restoration, Lord God. Bring restoration to the brokenhearted. God, would you just do your work? Holy Spirit, come now. We're asking you, come and restore the brokenhearted now. Lord God, I pray for every person who's walked in today with a heavy heart, with a heart just consumed with loss, just wondering what, I can't do it anymore. I can't do this anymore. God, would you just resource the brokenhearted through your word, through your scripture. Thank you for Jack's testimony, Lord God, and I pray that will be multiplied. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit.